said that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. And that's true. However, it's a good thing for a car to be in a garage. There's protection from bad weather. There's warmth on the coldest of days. It's a good, safe place to check it over for any malfunctions. Okay? Church doesn't make you a Christian. Only Christ can do that. But church is good for you. It makes it easier to be a Christian. It's a good place to get warmed up in your faith. And it's a safe place to check all of your spiritual systems. All right, so let's talk about church. Some always think church service is the greatest thing ever. There are some people that just have that mentality, and probably if you're a regular here, you have got a few people coming to mind, like, oh yeah, they're always loving church. And then there's always some who find something to complain about. And hopefully your image isn't coming into somebody's mind right now. Okay? But I think most of us are somewhere in between. You know, we enjoy church, but we can see some flaws here and there as well. I want you to know that your leaders are always working hard to put together the best celebration possible, and so we could have a wonderful time on Sunday mornings. But we're flawed human beings, and we don't get it right 100% of the time. Okay, I'll take that as supportive. So the question is, how can we enjoy church even with the imperfections here and there? What can we do to make sure we enjoy church? Well, I searched online, and I actually found a few people had some good ideas. And so I just want to share a few of those. First one is this: realize that no church is perfect. Okay? That's an easy out for people to stop attending church. Well, I see some problems. I see some faults. Okay, then just skip out. That's kind of the attitude. But the problem is, if there was a perfect church and you went there, you would ruin it. Okay? Because none of us are perfect. So begin by going to church regularly. And the person that wrote this said, you will get 100% more out of church if you go than if you don't go. Okay? Pretty simple. All right? Here's another one. Decide to pray regularly for the staff and the church. And God may surprise you with a deep love and appreciation for your church as you learn to pray for it. Those things that you keep close to your heart, you're praying about, you come to love. It's just the way it works. Here's another one. Invite your neighbors and family to join you. When you invite somebody, you're able to see church through fresh eyes, and you can feel proud when someone you care about joins you at church, and that will cause your love for the church to grow. All right? If you really want to get something out of church, don't just sit and soak. Give back. So serving is a great way to meet others, discover your gifts, honor Jesus, be reminded of the beautiful diversity of God's people. And then, regardless, if you enjoy the pastor's teaching style, pay attention to the message. Okay? All right? And then follow up with personal study or reflection. It doesn't do you any good unless you do something with what you're taught. Okay? If all you do is listen and then you walk away and that's the end of it, you're way short of what you could be experiencing. Okay? Here's another one. Believe it or not, become a financial investor in the church. We believe that you'll grow to love the places where you invest your money. In fact, Jesus said that. Your heart follows your money. Not the other way around. Here's another one. Be an encourager. Yes. Let me tell you something you may not realize. When you are friendly and an encouragement to others and your church staff, it's a big deal. It really is. Okay? Even just that kind little word of, boy, that was good today. Or, you look sharp. Or whatever. You know, just something that's uplifting. That's a big deal. You know, there's a lot of people that come to church and they are feeling miserable. They've had a horrible week. And just that kind little word can be the pickup they need. So be an encourager. And then be gracious. Here's the truth. When you're more worried about get something that you want out of church, you tend to be critical about how things at church operate. Okay, if it's all about me, then I'm going to pick a fight or everything that's not about me. So choose to not be critical about the music or the way someone lifts their hands or whatever. Choose to be gracious, knowing that the church is filled with fallible people just like you. Okay? Now, here's my thoughts, and I'll have some scripture background to it. To really enjoy church, come to church expecting to hear from God. That's the best way to really enjoy church. Come expecting to hear from God. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Here's the truth. You will find what you are looking for. You will find what you are looking for. Bottom line. Okay? So, if you are coming and you're looking for faults and flaws, you're going to find them, okay, because there are some, all right? If you're looking for friends, you can find friends at church. If you're looking for the Father, you will find him. In Jeremiah 29:13, God himself says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So come expecting and looking for God. So don't come to church thinking, what's me, what's all about me? But come looking for what is God saying? What's God up to today? In spite of Pastor Phil stumbling over some words and maybe the band didn't do something just right, still God is speaking. So be listening and looking for God and come expecting. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." There's a positive attitude. Somebody said, "Let's go to church." And I said, "Yeah, let's go." Here's another great attitude in Psalm 42, 1 and 2. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" You hear the heart there? It isn't, "Oh, I guess it's Sunday, I gotta go to church." It's, "Hey, I'm going and I get to meet with God today. And I can hear his voice. He can speak to me." And so I suggest on this, come expecting that you prepare, all right? What if rather than just showing up, you showed up ready? Instead of waiting for a couple of songs to warm you up, what if your heart was already in a position of worship? What if you're already tuned in to hearing God's voice? Come prepared. So read and pray regularly between Sundays. You know, the Sunday sermon is not just some sort of spiritual vitamin to help you get through the week. Okay? Now, it might be a spiritual vitamin, but you better have a whole lot more than that going for you to get through the week. Okay? So read your Bible. Prepare yourself throughout the week by applying the word on the days in between. Come expecting and prepare to meet with God. There's a young psychology student that was serving in the Army, and he decided to test the theory. He pulled kitchen duty, and he was given the job of passing out apricots at the end of the chow line. And so he asked the first few soldiers, "You don't want any apricots, do you?" And 90% said, "Nope." Then he tried the positive approach. "You do want apricots, don't you?" About half answered, "Yeah, I'll take some." And then he tried a third test. This time he asked, "One dish of apricots or two?" And in spite of the fact that soldiers don't really like Army apricots, 40% took two dishes and 50% took one. So let me ask you this question. Do you want one dose of God or two? Okay? Come expecting. So don't come in and say, "Well, maybe I'll meet with God." Come in, "I'm going after God. I'm going to get God today." come expecting. All right? Then the second one is this. Come to church to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. Psalm 34, 1, 2, and 3. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Okay? Come to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. We're going to praise him every Sunday morning. And let's give him our best. And when you do, you're going to enjoy church more. I promise. And the scripture gives us some thoughts on how do you praise God. Psalm 86:12 says you should praise God with all of your heart. Okay? So if you don't like my point, then I want you to read Psalm 86:12. Because it says, I will praise you with all my heart. That's wholeheartedly. Okay? All right. Psalm 26, verses 6 and 7 says we should praise out loud. Okay? Now, I know we're predominantly a white church. And sometimes we tend to be a little reserved. And we're kind of in the north as well. So we got all these things. But the scripture says we should praise God out loud. Okay. All right. So, you know, that means you open your mouth and you say some words. And when the music's playing, you sing along. That's out loud. Again, that's the Bible, Psalm 26. All right, here's another one. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, with lifted hands. That's what the Bible says. And I know there's some that are real comfortable with this and others are not so much. And someday I'll show the comedian, Christian comedian. Help me. Tim Hawkins on the different ways you raise your hands. It's great. I'll show it sometime. But the scripture says with lifted hands, okay? And again, some of you and from your background and upbringing are kind of like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? But the scripture says with lifted hands, okay? Now, there's different ideas of why that is, but really what matters is the Bible says so. The Bible says praise God with lifted hands. Okay, here's another one that's going to challenge all of us. Well, not all of us. Me. Psalm 150, okay, the first part doesn't challenge me. Praise the Lord with instruments. No problem. Play piano, play bass, play trumpet, variety of things, no problem. But then it also says with dancing. Oh. Okay, that's a harder one for me because that's kind of out of my comfort zone. And so I, my wife, when we dance for real on a dance floor, she says, keep it in the box. So that's sort of how I praise with dancing. I keep it in the box, you know, but I can, it's all right. But it says to worship with dancing. I can't get away from what the Bible says. All right? And then Psalm 95 talks about singing, shouting, thanksgiving, music, and kneeling. In other words, there's just a bunch of ways to worship the Lord. It's not just one. But we should be giving it wholeheartedly to the Lord. Okay? Now, very often we're focused on ourselves, or we're focused on the people around us rather than being focused on God, okay? And thus, that's why some are nervous about lifting their hands because they're kind of worried about everybody around them instead of focused on God, okay? There's a story about the poet Dante Alighieri, I think is how you say his name, who was immersed in meditation during a church service. And, of course, this was back in the darker ages, and he failed to kneel at the appropriate moment. his enemies hurried to the bishop and demanded that Dante be punished for his sacrilege. And Dante defended himself by saying, if those who accuse me had had their eyes and minds on God as I had, they too would have failed to notice events around them, and they most certainly would not have noticed what I was doing. Okay? Yeah, take that. And I remember as a little kid, we'd have prayer around the table, you know, for dinner. And every once in a while, it'd be, Julia had her eyes open during prayer. Well, what's the problem with that statement? How would I know that if I didn't have my eyes open? Hey. So we come to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about what the Lord is doing and how we can honor him. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So I don't want us to just gather and sing some songs and hear a nice talk. I want us to put our hearts into it and really express our love for the Lord. I want each and every one to experience a personal connection with God. I mean, let's just pause for a moment. Are you thankful for anything that God has done in your life? Is there even just one thing that you would be thankful for? All right, then there's something to express thanksgiving and praise about. So let's do that. And let's not just go through the motions. Matthew West sings a song called The Motions. And he says, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? And the longer you've been in church, the easier it is to kind of go through the motions. But we need to continue exalting Christ wholeheartedly. Let's not just go through the motions. Let's genuinely go after God. And so challenge yourself to sing along wholeheartedly and then take notes during the sermon with our brand new notebooks. Bring your Bible and read along. Be a participant, not just a spectator. Make up your mind beforehand that you are going to worship, so you don't have to wait for your favorite song or an epic keyboard riff or perfect lighting. You lead yourself. Cry out to God. Now, occasionally when Naomi and I travel, we'll visit other churches that we're unfamiliar with. Okay? And we often don't know the songs they're singing. And the sermon style and the overall vibe of the church is different than we're accustomed to. But we still choose to worship God, and we are strengthened in our faith. You can make that choice. So come to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. You know, sometimes people sit on the sidelines and they squawk about secondary issues instead. So refuse to be critical. Focus on the positives, not the negatives. One blogger online was transparent enough to say, I've become a consumer and a critic of worship services. Shame on me. Yeah, we need to focus on the positive. It's like that old song. I can hear it in my heart. Here it comes. Any moment now. There it is. That's it. All right. I didn't want to play the whole song. It gets a little long. But, yeah, that's the old swing thing. It's accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. That's what we need to do. Okay? Come to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. Get our hearts and our minds focused on him. All right? Here's the next one. To enjoy church, come to church to encourage others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Build each other up. William Arthur Ward says, Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you, but encourage me, and I will not forget you. We all need encouragement. Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. When you encourage others, it lifts you up. The Lord himself said in Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's a great truth. When you focus on encouraging and helping others, you yourself will be encouraged. It's when you are constantly waiting for someone else to reach out to you that you become discouraged. Now, I know right away, a few people get a little resistant to that. Well, I'm here all the time and nobody ever says anything to me. Say something to somebody. Can I get a witness on that, please? Okay. Some of you have been around long enough, you understand that's how it works. If you're feeling discouraged and lonely, then reach out and encourage somebody else. Guess what? The Bible makes it plain that will lift you up. Okay? So don't sit there whining. Okay? This is your pastor speaking now. Don't sit there whining that people aren't being encouraging to you. Instead, you go out and encourage somebody. Okay? And you will be encouraged in the process. I promise, it works that way. Okay? Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, you know, get rid of the negative talk and instead be building up and encouraging. Okay? Everyone needs encouragement. Everybody does. Okay? However, few make it as clear as the little boy who said to his father, let's play darts, Dad. I'll throw. And you say, wonderful. Yeah. He wanted encouragement from his dad, and he knew how to get it. So work on building real relationship with others at church. These are the people who will not only help you bear your burdens, but will also need you to support them through the ups and downs of life. See, it's a mutual thing. So get out of your group of immediate friends. Speak to others. Speak to a new visitor. Sit by someone who needs encouragement. Shake hands with a person you don't normally speak to, and God will use you. And when you do that, you yourself will be encouraged. I promise. The biblical principle. God's principles usually work. I think they always work. So do it. Another way you can do this is to pray for each other. Pray for each other. Okay? That can happen during celebration. You know, and it can happen just kind of in your own heart. If somebody's on your mind, you pray for them. Or it could be you go to that person during the worship time and you just ask, can I pray with you? We're okay with that. Aren't we okay with that? Okay. All right. I thought so. But one person online said, when I feel distracted, I'll pray for others in the congregation. He says, true worship will always be marked with a sense of reaching out, moving beyond your personal experience to crying out for others. Try it. So come to encourage others. That's part of why we gather together, to encourage each other. And then to enjoy church, go from church to employ what you have received. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Employ what you receive. Do what it says. Let the Lord change you. Let the Lord work in you. Put it to work. Be open to change. You know, at the center of Christ's work on the cross is the reality of radical change. If you're a believer in Christ, somewhere along the way, you were made to realize how much you really needed Christ and the kind of life only he can offer. Somewhere along the line, you came to that realization. I need help. I need the Lord. And this life is one of change as we become less like who we were yesterday and we become more like Jesus. So employ what you receive. Remember, church is not about us. It's first and foremost about our relationship with Christ. And we strive daily to become more like him. And then secondly, it's about how we can love one another in a variety of different capacities. And then we are personally built up. And so this leads to joy. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. That's how you get joy. So put it into practice. Remember what I said, if you reverse that? It's years of junk. How many want that? Okay. All right. Now let me say this as I kind of wrap things up. I believe we have one of the best churches in the area. We stick to the Bible. We work to live by the truth. We welcome the Spirit of God to move in us. I think we have a nice multi-purpose building. We got good music, good small groups, good kids and youth programs. And we have a lot of good people who make this church what it is. Let me ask you this, though. Will you join me in working to make this church even better? Good. So how can you best enjoy church? Expect, exalt, encourage, employ. Come to hear God's voice. Don't look around and wonder what everybody else is up to, but focus on the Lord and exalt him wholeheartedly. And then in the in-between times, encourage somebody else. And then do something with it when you walk out the doors. And you can look forward to church. It's a good place. It's a good time. It's good people. Love church. You love church? Okay. Are you okay with church? Okay. You can step up. All right. You don't have to stay right where you are. Church is pretty cool, I think. Good things happen. Spirit of God moves. I hear God's voice. I see people who are on the same adventure with me. We're all going after Christ. I love it. And good things happen. And sometimes even kind of phenomenal things happen when God really moves powerfully. We can see a healing or something like that. God can do that. Pretty awesome. I want you to enjoy church as well. There you have it. Four simple things. And I think you will enjoy church even more. So this morning, instead of an altar call or anything like that, we are going to apply the message. Okay, the very last point, employ what you've received. So, this week, already be preparing for next week. So that you come next Sunday, already tuned in, you're going to hear from God. Okay? And then, also next Sunday, we can worship the Lord, right? Wholeheartedly. And then finally today, before you leave, let's mix it up and mingle a little bit and encourage each other. All right? That's it. Have a great week. See you next time.